Hi, this is Casey Treat. I'm pastor at Christian Faith, and we are excited to have you with us on our podcast. Thanks for joining in. I'm praying that you're going to hear a word that will inspire you, empower you to connect with Jesus and become more like him. That's what we live for. That's what's happening on today's podcast. The Prince of Peace brings peace that passes understanding, right? That'll be fun. And today we will conclude our series on the power of purpose. I hope that you have bought into the idea that when you live with purpose, you live with more power. Your life is more powerful. You have power to overcome. You have power to find your best self. You have power to find your gifts and talents like you never have before. Purpose releases greater power in your life. I'm gonna give you some more scriptures on it. You know, many of us just struggle with wrong beliefs. We were raised to think selfishly, and we were raised with fears, and we're kind of just trying to survive. That's the life that we were brought up in. That's how our parents talked. Just trying to pay the bills, trying to get by, trying to survive, just trying to make a living. And we never thought about purpose. We just thought about surviving, you know, getting by. And maybe what we should do is realize it's not what you do for a living. It's what you are living for. Right? When you're a kid, maybe you talk to your parents. Many don't, or many parents don't really discuss it with their children, but some do. The conversation focuses on what you should do. Well, you could go to college, or you could go to trade school, or you'd be good in sales, you'd be good in management. It's all around, what are you going to do for a living? And I would say it's not about that. And we've read from scripture, Caleb talked about it last week, whatever you do, do it as unto the Lord. So it doesn't really matter what you do to make a living. The real issue is, what are you living for? Well, I'm just living for myself. I'm just living to have more stuff. I'm just living so I can have an Amazon truck at my house at least once a day. Which is not funny, really. Right? What are you living for? What's the purpose for what you do? That most of us never had that conversation with our parents, because our parents didn't think that way. They were just trying to, you know, get ahead and retire, have enough to retire, and so forth. So let's shift the mentality. Let's shift your paradigm. It's not what do you do for a living? God gave you life. Jesus came that you have life and have it more abundantly. You already have life. Now, what are you living for? What's the purpose for your life? That's what we've been talking about these past weeks. God is looking for a people who do not live for this world or for themselves, but for his purposes. Let's start in Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. But before we read that scripture, I need to mention something to you. For the past 8 years, Sound Transit's been talking to us about taking this property. On this location here in Federal Way, we have 50 acres and we have 225,000 square feet of this facility. And for 8 years, Sound Transit has said, we're going to take that property. So they have the power for eminent domain, which means they take your house, they take your business, they take your church. That's what they can do. They're the government. However, they have to pay for it. So we didn't know anything about this at first. Somebody in church brought me a newspaper, like old school newspaper, and said, hey, did you know Sound Transit is talking about taking our church? And I said, ain't no way. And I read the article, sure enough, we were one of the, and then for 8 years, they've been going through this process, you know, thinking about it and looking at other sites and what are they gonna do and on and on and on. Well, in the last year or so, it really got serious. We're taking your church. Okay, so that's fine, I get it, but you will pay us to replace our church. So how many 50-acre sites do you suppose there are in South King County? None. Okay, I'll answer the question for you. None. Available real estate you could purchase 50 acres does not exist. So we have to give up parking, we have to give up the playground, we have to give up the school, which we had started to build the school when they started eminent domain. So we gave up our gymnasium, our classrooms, all of that. Okay, so, all right, well, fine. There's not one 50-acre site, plus building codes have changed. We can't build this facility now with the new building codes. Okay, well, we'll build one here in Federal Way. So we bought property across the street. It's 20 acres, but some of it's wetlands. So we have like 14 or 15 that we can use. All right, we'll build 100,000 square feet over there. That's less than half what we have here. And then we'll build a smaller one, maybe Covington or somewhere over in that area. And you can't build in King County. It has to be in a city like Federal Way or Covington, because King County has a moratorium against any church building. Why would they do that? Because they're full of the devil. I'm just saying. Okay, so maybe one in Covington, maybe one in Tacoma, maybe one in Lacey, right? So we'll look for two or three options to replace one. You know, we're Christians. We take our lemons, we turn them into lemonade. We believe God is helping, God is working, God will make a way. However, they want to pay us not even enough to build half of what we have, because their budget is billions of dollars upside down. In fact, it's been reported that about $2 billion, they don't even know where it went, which is kind of funny, you know? You can lose a few bucks. Like, I thought I had a five in my, well, where'd that $5? But $2 billion? Whatever, that's another story. So, we're in a battle, church. We haven't talked to you about it because you come to church to learn the word. You don't want to hear about this stuff. But we feel like now we need your help, and we're going to have two nights of prayer, March 8 and March 15. Next Sunday night, the following Sunday night, 6 p.m., we're going to pray for about an hour. And this is how we fight. We fight in the spirit. We fight with faith. We fight with prayer. The Bible said we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness. Caleb and I have been in this together now for the past 8 years. He's been leading the charge on the new construction. I've been dealing with attorneys and so forth on the sale. And Caleb talked to a friend of his who's a real prayer warrior and a prophetic guy. And this guy said the same demon that took out Church Home, some of you know Church Home, it's not here anymore in the Northwest, took out Mark Driscoll, not here anymore in the Northwest, that's taken out, that demon's trying to take out Christian faith. And he said, but you have a faith and a resolve, and you will win the battle. So we have the prophetic, you know, we have that spirit of faith, and we believe, we overcome, and God makes a way where there is no way. And you could throw us in the fire, and we'll come out. We don't even smell like smoke. You know what I'm saying? And you could put us in the lion's den, and we make a new friend. You can do what you want, but we keep rising up. And we believe for that, but we need to fight. We need to fight. We need to pray. We need to believe. And we would ask you to be a part of that. March the 8th and March the 15th. And within a week or two after that, trial will start. So then we're in before the judge and the jury. We pick a jury. It's in Seattle, so it's going to be hard to get a jury of born-again, spirit-filled people. But you never know what the Lord could do. So God will work it out, and we believe, and we will fight. You know, the Bible said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. In other words, we should know hell fights the church in every way possible. We're not surprised. But the gates of hell will not prevail against it, right? So March 8th, March 15th, 6 p.m., put it on your calendar. This is how I fight my battles, right? How do you fight? Well, I get depressed and I get drunk. Yeah, that doesn't work very good. We fight with prayer. We fight with faith. We fight in the spirit realm. And so come on and join us. God is looking for a people who do not live for this world or for themselves, but for his purposes. In Romans 8 and verse 28, you know this verse. You hear it quoted in a lot of different situations, but let's read it. Romans 8, 28. We know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. Now, you've probably heard it quoted, well, you know, all things work together for good. However, that's not true. Cancer's not working for your good. The accident, the disease, sickness, not for your good. The devil is not for your good. Many circumstances of life are not for your good. They're trying to take you out. The enemy tries to put you down. But the Bible said, all things work for your good if you love God and live for his purposes. Now, God gets involved, and he makes a way when there was no way. He turns it around, and it works out for your good. The thing that was to crush you just makes you stronger. But you just can't make blanket statements, well, all things work together for good. That's not true. But if you connect with God and God's purpose, now it's a whole different thing. That's like saying, well, you know, truth will make you free. That's not what the Bible said. Not even close to what the Bible said. The Bible says in John chapter 8, if you are my disciple, you will abide in my word, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. So it's not true. Well, truth will make you free. No, it won't. Truth might get you thrown in jail. Truth can be a lot of things to a lot of people. However, if you're a disciple, you're following Jesus, and you abide in his word, then you know the truth that makes you free. Not any truth, the truth. So let's be aware of what we're saying. Well, all things work together for good if you love God and you live according to his purposes. So ask yourself, am I living for the purposes of God? Because maybe there's been things coming against you and they're not working for your good. So you get frustrated and you say, well, the Bible says it's supposed to be working for my good. But you forgot the context, right? It's all about the context. If you love God and you're called according to his purpose, right? Then those things, you get fired from a job, you get the better job. You go through a financial crisis, you rise up to a higher financial place, right? Things are starting working for your good. We've been through so many things over the last 46 years, Wendy and I, and we can say, man, there's been some bad days, but God made it, God turned it, God lifted it, God worked it out, and it really did work for our good. So this is the kind of life that we want you to have. The one that even on the worst day, you find a way to rise above because God is working in your life. And that comes when you live with purpose. If you live for self and how do I get what I want and how do I have enough to retire and all I care about is that I'm taken care of, man, that's a bummer. God's trying to show you a better way. Look with me in Daniel chapter 1 and verse 8. Daniel is a great character study in the Bible and be a good guide for many of you to study, especially young men. Read the life of Daniel, the story of Daniel, and try to be like him. Now, he started out on a real sour note, the worst. The book of Daniel starts with Daniel's family being killed in Israel by the Babylonians. Right, so Babylonians go to Israel, they destroy the temple, they kill most of the adults, and they take the best of the young adults back to Babylon. So here's where Daniel, the book of Daniel starts. He's a refugee, he's an orphan, he's an immigrant, he doesn't know the language, the culture, he's a young man in a strange world. Plus, he's hated by the Babylonians because he's a Jew. Typical hatred. So, Daniel is in this circumstance. He has every right to just be depressed, be anxious, be sad, be wanting to die, just want to kill myself, right? He has every right because everything has been taken from him. But look at what it says. Chapter 1. In the book of Daniel, verse 8. Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now, God had brought Daniel into the favor and goodwill of the chief of the eunuchs. So here's a kid, young guy, college age maybe, and he has every right to just be defeated, discouraged. But he's purpose in his heart. I'm gonna live for God. I'm not gonna defile myself. I'm not gonna become Babylonian. I'm not gonna follow the worldly culture. I'm not gonna accept you would think, I mean, these people took over his country, killed his parents, tore down his religion, his temple. You would think, well, I'll just go with them because they're obviously stronger. No, he purposed in his heart to serve God, to live for God, to honor God. And do you know that before the end of his life, Daniel became the chief counselor for the king of Babylon? And the king listened to him more than all his other counselors. Interesting statement in Daniel chapter 5. Because he had an excellent spirit, they listened to Daniel. He interpreted their dreams. He told them what was going to happen because he had an excellent spirit. In other words, you keep talking about, well, I could never catch a break. What kind of spirit do you have? Well, I wish someone would just give me some, when's the government going to raise my welfare check? What kind of a spirit do you have? Well, if I could just find somebody that would give me a chance, you know, I never catch a break and I never can get ahead. I can't get out of debt. What kind of spirit do you have? You see my point. Daniel had an excellent spirit. He lost his parents. He was an immigrant. He didn't know the language. He had lots of things against him. But because he had an excellent spirit, Wendy and I started Christian Faith 46 years ago. A lot of people told us we wouldn't last very long. We wouldn't do very much. We wouldn't go very far. But I locked in on Daniel 5:12. And I used to teach lessons a lot on the excellent spirit. You will excel if you have an excellent spirit. Well, maybe some of you are saying, well, I don't even know what an excellent spirit is. If you want one, you could find out. If you want an excellent spirit, you could find it in the scripture. So that desire led me to find what it meant, and I believe enabled us to overcome a lot of limitations and negativities and challenges that we faced. So Daniel's excellent spirit caused Daniel to rise up. And why did he have that kind of spirit? Well, one part, he purposed in his heart to live for God. He purposed in his heart. His life was more, well, I got to pay for my iPhone, and I got to pay for my blue check on Instagram, and I got to make sure I have my NFL Red Zone account because, you know, I need that. And right, so we have all these things we think we need, and way down the list somewhere is God. Would you give up your iPhone for more prayer time? Okay, I'll be real honest with a lot of your answers. Hell no. You totally love your phone more than you love the Lord. Right? But that's the issue. And I don't think God wants you to give up your phone. But it might be an issue to check your priorities, to find out what purpose drives your life. You know, I mentioned you have power in purpose, and a lot of you don't believe me. But think of it like this. How many kids in school, young children in school, bored? Don't pay attention. Can't plug in. Teacher sends home reports. He can't read very good. He won't even try. And then he turns out to be Einstein, right? Einstein was flunking out of school. He didn't like school, and school didn't like him. And he's just a disaster because he's smarter than the teacher. Right? I'm not saying my kids were Einstein, but we have one of our kids that was not doing well in school. And I would ask, how come you didn't do the paper? Why didn't you get a better grade on your test? And how come you didn't do your reading? You know, you get the report from the teacher, and they would say, my teacher is stupid. Now, I never said it out loud, but I agreed with him. The teacher worked for me in our school. And the teacher was stupid. But that's still no excuse for the kid, right? You got to do your stuff. And then he found things that he was attracted to. Then he found things that he was excited about. And all of a sudden, he could get focused. He could pay attention. He could learn. And now he's doing excellent. He's prospering. Because power in purpose. Why do I have to learn this? Because I said so. Not a lot of purpose in that. Right? And there's been innumerable stories of kids who weren't good in school, but found something that sparked their purpose. When I was 18 years old in high school, I was high before first period every day. You understand what I mean by that? Because some of you look at me like you have no clue what the heck's going on around here. I was high, smoking pot, taking pills, snorting coke every day before school started because my attitude was, how else do you get through school? So I'm 18 years old, I'm smoked out. Okay, now, some of you will know, when you're in that position, you forget where your locker is. And if you find your locker because your friend tells you this is your locker, you can't remember the combination. Which became a nightmare for me. I would wake up in the middle of the night, I can't remember where my locker is. I'm so spaced out. I'm trying to tell you, I was not doing well. I had a band director who helped me and who cared about me and got me through. I graduated from high school. The next year, I'm in rehab, right? Get arrested about 5 times. Judge puts me in rehab. I'm living in rehab. First few months, I meet Wendy. I go to Bible school. And I start feeling purpose. What? Serving God? Learning the Bible? Finding purpose? I got excited. Now think about this. I went from flunking out of school, and 4 years later was the valedictorian of our college. Think what that meant. I'm a spaced out, my nickname, Spacey Casey. Not proud of that. Not proud. But 4 years later, I'm the valedictorian. And a couple years after that, largest church in the Northwest. I'm not saying to look how cool. I'm trying to say, if you find purpose, it's easy to stop the drugs, stop the alcohol, stop the depression, stop the anxiety, stop the fear, stop the worry, rise to a new level, find something new for your life. Right? In a year. People all the time ask me, well, how did you overcome your addiction? Get a reason. Get a purpose. I went to counselors, all kinds of counselors, trying to help me stop the addiction. All the counselors ended up smoking pot with half of them. Counselors are just people who are messed up, trying to help other people who are messed up. No, I'm not joking. It's crazy out there. But purpose empowers you. It pushes you past. So if you're the kid not doing good in class, whatever your class is, your job, your world, whatever it is, not doing good, it's because you haven't found purpose yet. You keep thinking about what you do to make a living. You're not thinking about what you're living for. You gotta live for something more than money and stuff. Because money and stuff just doesn't, it's like trying to be healthy on a diet of Coke and Cheetos. They taste good, but they just don't keep you healthy, right? Okay, let me show you another story besides Daniel. Let's look at this guy, David, 1 Samuel chapter 16. So Samuel's a prophet. And the Lord says to Samuel, we need a new king. Saul flunked his first try at being king. Saul got caught up in how many followers he had on Instagram. Saul was worried about what people were saying about him. And so God says, I'm done with Saul. He's out. I'm taking the kingdom and I'm giving it to a new. And the new king is at Jesse's house. Go to Jesse's house and you'll find the new king. So Samuel goes to Jesse's house and there he has seven sons. Man, they're handsome, tall, like first son, Arnold Schwarzenegger, second son, Bruce Willis, third son, The Rock. I mean, his boys were amazing soldiers, leaders, you know, good guys. And the Lord said to Samuel, nope, 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 none of these guys. And Samuel says to Jesse, you have any more sons? He said, I got one son, but he's out in the field and he's taking care of the sheep. I mean, you know, he's kind of a wimp. He plays guitar. He sings a lot. He's a wimpy kid. Samuel says, bring him in. Look what the Lord said when David came in. 1 Samuel 16, verse 7. The Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. God knows our heart and our purposes. David's purpose was to worship God, was to serve God, was to honor God. The other brothers didn't have that. And even though David might have been as educated or wasn't as strong or didn't have other talents, he had purpose with God. And God said, that's the one I want. Now, was David perfect? No, obviously, had some problems. David had some issues, but he always came back to God. He always repented and sought God. And as long as he kept that connection with God, he was king of Israel. And the Bible said his kingdom will have no end. David is in the lineage of Jesus. So what a wonderful story of you may not have the best IQ, you may not have the best education, you may not have the best opportunities from your family or your heritage or your culture, but you connect with God and God knows the heart. And God looks at the heart. He's not looking at those other things everybody else is looking at, right? So find purpose. Find purpose with God. And God will then choose you and begin to lift you up and raise you up. And David had so many troubles. But remember, David wanted to build a house for God. God said, okay, you've been a man of war, so you gather the materials and we'll have your son build the house for God. And Solomon took that place. I think it's amazing how God can take generational blessing and pass it to that next generation, and they'll just take it to another place, to another level. When you can pass purpose on to your children, you're giving them the greatest opportunity. You can say, well, you're going to go to Stanford and you're going to be a doctor. Yeah, they might be a drunk. They might be a drug addict. They might be a loser. They might be a failure, 3 divorces and disasters. It's not what you do for a living. It's what are you living for? God prospers those who give and live for his purpose. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 6. 2 Corinthians 9, 6. This I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man or woman as he purposes in his heart, let him give. Not grudgingly, not of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. I've had people say to me through the years, well, your church is so big, you don't need me to give. No one asked you to give because we need you to give. We ask you to give because it's God's purpose, God's plan, God's will in your life. Giving is part of being like Christ. And the first part that we give is our tithe. And remember, the tithe is not just a tenth. The word tithe literally means tenth. But it's not just a tenth, it's the first tenth. So when I give my tithe, I give the first part to God. In the book of Proverbs, he refers to first fruits. God never wants your leftovers. Which is kind of funny, right? If Jesus was coming to your house for dinner, right? Like Jesus shows up in his glorified body, but he's having dinner with you. So would you cook your best meal?
Yes, my best.
What would your best be? I guess it depends on your family, your culture, your best meal, whatever your best meal. Wouldn't you cook your best? I mean, Jesus is coming to dinner. How many of you would bust out the leftovers? Had some fries from yesterday. Everybody knows warmed over fries is so good. I had some spaghetti from last week at the spaghetti factory. Warm it up. It'll be good when you warm it up. Had some chicken nuggets the kids were working on. Took a bite out of each one. But, you know, if you warm it up. Right? I mean, what kind of, no one would do that. If Jesus is coming to your house for dinner, you're at least going to try a little bit. And yet, how many people, when they give, they only give when they can. When they have extra. Paid for the iPhone. Paid for the cable TV. Paid for the car. Paid for the vacation savings, paid for the retirement savings. Oh, I got a little bit left. I think I'll give it to the Lord. Always giving the Lord your leftovers. Well, I give and I never have received anything back. Yeah, because you're not giving the first. You're giving when you can, if you can. It's the leftovers. That mentality is what's keeping you from the favor and from the blessing. Because the Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God. And his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. God doesn't care about you having things. He doesn't want the things to be more important than him. Third service, it's hard work up here. I'm not getting any response, Nick. I know Nick's bought into this already, but I need you to shout amen a little louder, bro. Encourage the people around you. But think about it. It's more important to you to pay for your stuff than it is to honor God. I know you don't talk about it that way. You don't want to look at it that way, but that's the fact. My stuff is first. Once I pay for my stuff, then if I can, I'll give something to God. Okay? Look in Malachi chapter 3, the prophet Malachi. You know, we call these minor prophets. You know why they're called minor prophets? Only because the books or the messages that they wrote are shorter than the major prophets. So Isaiah, Jeremiah, we call those major prophets. The minor prophets weren't minor in their profound message. They were just smaller. So Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10. Bring all the tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I'll not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing that there'll not be room enough to receive it. Okay, if we believe the Bible, that's how we do it. We bring all the tithe to the storehouse, to God's house, to the church, where we are fed, where there's food in the house, and food for the children, food for the missions, and food for the community, food for the word of God going out to so many people that even aren't in our church. And then we have positioned ourselves for God to open the windows of heaven. But how many Christians ever receive that? Well, about 12%. And the reason I say that is because national statistics, 12% of those who go to church tithe. Okay, so pick out 12%. It's about four or five rows right there. So these people are the tithers. All these people, when I can, if I can. I mean, let's get real. My car is more important. My groceries, way more important. I serve my belly before I serve the Lord. My Instagram check. My check costs $16 a month. I can't lose that. My cable. Man, it hasn't been this quiet in the church in a long time. But it's worth thinking about, because if you find your purpose in God, it shows in how you live and how you give. And then the windows of heaven starts being put out. You start prospering. You know, Wendy was in Wenatchee, and her parents didn't have any money. We basically took care of her parents for their last years. I started in Spanaway. My parents didn't have anything. I took care of them in their last years. I was making money as relatives died. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Others, it may hit you someday. But right, I'm just taking care of the relatives. I'm not being blessed because I'm blessing them, but it's okay. But I'm honoring God first. I'm serving God first. And no matter what your background, well, I came from another country. I don't have the education. I understand. But no matter where you come from, when you honor God, you find this power. Your superpower and your business starts working. Your opportunities start opening. Your finance start multiplying. And even after it happens, when you look back, you can't understand how it worked. Wendy and I built our first sanctuary in SeaTac after 3 years at Christian Faith. I have friends who have been pastors for 40 years and still don't have a church building. But many pastors don't tithe. Because their attitude is, well, the congregation tithes, but you know, pastors, I mean, I'm working for God. How could I tithe? You just don't get it. It's about living and giving for the purposes of God. And when you purpose in your heart, He begins to multiply everything in your life. So I'm praying. It's true. And I'm praying that we can lift you, that we can get you up to that higher level. Jesus came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. It's not what you do for a living. It's what you are living for. And when that abundant life is flowing in you, man, it's not just the things, it's so much more, but it's good in every way. Thank you so much for joining with us today. I'm praying that you heard something that will impact your life. If you'd like more information, connect with us at the Christian Faith Church app or go to the website at christianfaith.us.